Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, the topic of a wealth tax in South Africa is one that is not going away. With the Treasury forced to rethink its revenue plans after the postponed national budget, reports are now suggesting that a wealth tax is potentially back on the table as a way to fill that fiscal gap. Critics argue that such a move could trigger further emigration of high net worth individuals. It could possibly shrink the tax base and discourage investment. Yet government officials see this as a way, reportedly, to ease the tax burden on the working and middle class, while also increasing state revenue. So let's put all of this together. What could this mean, a wealth tax for South Africans, particularly those with substantial assets, both at home and abroad? I'm in conversation now with John Paul Fraser, team lead cross-border taxation at Tax Consulting SA. John Paul, a very warm welcome to you. Maybe let's start with the basics. Could you explain to me exactly what a wealth tax is and how it differs from other taxes like income tax or even capital gains?
Firstly, thank you very much, Jeremy, for having me on. Absolute pleasure to be here. And yes, I think that's an incredibly great place to start. So I think primarily the difference is where, firstly, your income tax is levied across the board per specific rules. So generally, anyone who's earning taxable income will be paying income tax. Whereas a net or a wealth tax is essentially indicating certain individuals who are above a certain net worth, and your actual net worth is then taxed. Another distinction is, in terms of an income tax, you're being taxed on actual liquid money that you're bringing in, whereas a wealth tax is situated or premised on your net wealth. So the problem arises then essentially where you're not actually earning an income from being paid and being taxed on it. Your net wealth doesn't mean you have liquid cash to pay a tax as well. So that's where it's also a bit different in terms of an income tax, which is based on liquid income that you're bringing in, versus your actual net wealth based on assets that maybe aren't generating you any income at this specific time.
And John Paul, given that there's so many ways of hiding this or at least obscuring it, how does one work out what a person's net worth is?
That's an incredibly tough task, Jeremy, to be honest. I mean, SARS has increased their, for example, cooperation with financial institutions. So you'll see a lot of reporting from banks, and also just anyone in your intermediary services, financial intermediary services, are now having to report on their statistics to SARS. That's one way. But aside from that, SARS generally operates on the premise, such as another good example is your crypto assets. How does SARS actually have any insight of what you own in crypto? So they do place an onus on the taxpayer to actually declare this type of income and net wealth. And then you run the risk of, if you don't declare it, there's obviously adverse penalties, possible criminal prosecution, etc. So it is an incredibly tough task, but those are essentially the measures that SARS has to try and track what your net wealth would be.
Do we have any indication at this point, and I understand that it's all conceptual, John Paul, but of what sort of rate a wealth tax would be calculated at?
It is conceptual at this stage. I do not have any insight as to what your actual wealth tax would be calculated at. I do know, as of 2018, the Davis Committee essentially said, look, we need to play, well, there's a lot of considerations that need to be taken into account. So it's not an off-the-cuff decision, but I can't answer with an actual percentage of net or your wealth tax at stake.
Fair enough. Let's look at the practicality of a wealth tax, though. It would be an effective way to generate revenue, or do you think that the risks outweigh the benefits?
So look, it's definitely an effective way to generate revenue. What the consequences, but again, like you said, the consequences could be quite grave. Already South Africa, I mean, everyone is aware there is an exodus of specifically, let's say, your higher net wealth individuals, such as millionaires. In an article recently published in 2024, it was projected that 600 millionaires would leave the borders of South Africa. So we are currently in the top 10 countries losing millionaires. So again, to incentivize taxpayers, you are in that kind of tax brackets or net wealth brackets, to leave South Africa is definitely going to have an effect. We are seeing just practically on the ground in the consultations we are having with individuals like this, that there's not much more needed for someone to completely say they are actually done with the country and they want to formalize their financial immigration process and rather invest elsewhere or relocate and reside elsewhere, you know. So it's a tough call, and I do think it would have incredibly adverse consequences.
Is there international experience that tells us anything about the effectiveness of wealth tax. There is a sense as well that while it's seen as an easy revenue generating opportunity for the fiscus, it might not yield the expected revenue, as you've mentioned, due to either tax avoidance or capital flight.
100%. In terms of a wealth tax, I mean, there's plenty of countries talking of implementing such a tax. Your top 1%, for example, they'll call it maybe in the US. But definitely, it's just, again, incentivizes the hiding of offshore assets. That the scenario does where individuals who are in a high net worth kind of bracket have assets situated not just within a single country or jurisdiction, multiple countries and jurisdictions, which, again, there would be a prevention of double taxation. So those assets then could be subject to actually not being taxed in the country that's looking to tax the net wealth. So it is definitely, again, incentivizing hiding of certain assets or avoiding the declaration of those assets, which already is a problem that we are seeing, Jeremy, especially where offshore assets are in play, you know.
How difficult is it to simply cease South African tax residency?
So look, I mean, there's a distinction prior to 2021 versus after 2021. Prior to 2021, the process encompassed dealing with the Reserve Bank and exchange control. At present, we're running a system that deals exclusively with your tax status. So it has become a lot more efficient, if I can say that. So if you have, for example, an intention not to return to South Africa, you have physically left the borders of South Africa, and there's enough what we call objective factors indicating that South Africa is no longer your ordinarily resident or place of residence or permanent home, as we would call it, then you're eligible to cease tax residency under our local domestic tax law. Everyone colloquially refers to it as your financial immigration. That is not as complex as another mechanism, which is referred to as a double tax agreement in ceasing tax residency. But I think for the purpose of this, we are talking about individuals who are permanently leaving South Africa. And it's not as, how do we say it, as onerous as it might come across to be in terms of following the process. So it's definitely advisable, if it is applicable to an individual, that they at least follow the formal process.
All right, just in conclusion then, let me widen the lens on the conversation. For listeners who are now concerned about their financial future, are there immediate steps that they should be taking now to prepare for any potential tax changes, in other words, the wealth tax, in coming months?
Definitely. I'll make two distinctions. The first one is already those who are abroad to formalize your non-tax residency in South Africa. The objective or the outcome of this process is that SARS operates on a residence-based system. So for as long as you don't formalize your immigration with SARS, they will continue to have the right to lay claim and tax your worldwide income and assets. So those already outside of the borders of South Africa, really an urge and unction to formalize that with SARS before SARS gets a little more desperate and starts to look outside the borders of South Africa, which they currently are doing, to increase their tax collection. Those who are in South Africa and concerned, to definitely start the process of at least inquiring as to, firstly, when would they like to depart? If it is an imminent thing, then definitely to get into discussions with the tax consultant advising on how to formally cease their tax residency. It can be implemented as soon as you have left the borders of South Africa and arrived in your new home country. So it's not something to be put off. So it's definitely worthwhile considering at this stage if there are any concerns, whether you're outside of South Africa or still in South Africa.
Well, obviously, we're going to get a lot more clarity on Wednesday the 12th. I'm going to thank you, John Paul Fraser, Team Lead Cross-Border Taxation at Tax Consulting South Africa. Thank you very much.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.